This time, right before we get into the Word of God, we are going to, I'm going to ask them to get the house lights and transition us to the red lights. We'll be going to the red lights for the rest of the service because we do want to remember while we are celebrating this Resurrection Sunday, it didn't start off just as Sunday. It started off with a costly price for our Savior. And so to remind us of that, we're going to roll a video, and as soon as I get off stage, they will roll that for us. That is why we are here this morning. That is why we are here. Let us bow our heads and let us pray over the preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. Thank you for what this day means. Thank you for the gospel story, the gospel message. God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would speak through my mouth, think through my mind. I thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, unchecked, and uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic forces. The people will be eternally touched and blessed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things we do every Sunday. We confess over our offering, but we also confess over the preaching moment. So with your Bibles in your hands, would you repeat after me and declare, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word." If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise again. Amen. God, we thank God for this moment. So we're just going to start off with this first slide that is important to the understanding of where we're going. So let's just read that very first verse.
Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor.
So they were thinking about what they wanted to do with this Jesus person. So let me back up and explain to you what I'm going to do for today. So I love to preach the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Just the other day, they were doing Bible trivia, and they started asking me questions. They'll tell you that I was rattling them off because I love the Word of God. But moments like this become increasingly harder the more I preach, simply because y'all all know the story. So it's hard to tell you something that you already know. And so I'm thinking about how am I going to preach it different? How am I going to say it different after this is like my 13th time preaching Easter? So after 13 years, I didn't say it, everything I need to say. If we want to be honest, I can just say he got up and we can all go home. Because at the end of the day, we're grateful that he got up. And so I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to say it any different than what I've already said. So what I'm going to do is, since we know he got up, and we know that the young people are going to come and they're going to kind of close it out, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go up to it and kind of leave you on a cliffhanger, but you already know the end of the story. Let me tell you something about people. I love people. I love the word of God, and I love my people. I love black folk. I love white folk. I love everybody. But folk that get on my nerves who tell me the end of the story before I even get started. You ever had somebody tell you, you ought to go see such and such movie, and then they start telling you everything? Well, I don't need to go see the movie if you're going to tell me everything. So I don't like spoiler alerts, but let me go ahead and give you a spoiler alert. He got up. That's why I'm grateful, because he got up. Here's the thing. When I woke up this morning, the only reason why I woke up this morning is because he got up. So instead of focusing on what we already know because you already know, I'm going to preach up to it and not really go in it. So we're starting at Mark chapter 15. And in Mark chapter 15, it tells the story leading up to it. And Mark chapter 16 is the resurrection. And what I'm going to do, I'm not even going to go into Mark chapter 16. I'm going to give the story leading up to it because, say it with me, we already know he got up. All right. So let's go and let's work this thing knowing how it's going to end. So basically what this is, it's a prequel. It's when you already know how it ends, we're backing up and giving you the background. And so they try to figure out what we going to do with this Jesus, because he's been healing. He's been doing all kinds of good stuff, and they done got on, he done got on their nerves because he was not bowing down to their power. So they figured out we got to do something with this fellow. Let's move right on. So they get him to Pilate. Read this.
Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it."
Didn't really answer him a whole lot. Read.
Then the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes.
Making up stuff about him. Go ahead.
And Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you?"
All right, read this again. This next one.
But Jesus said nothing. Much to Pilate's surprise.
Much to Pilate's surprise. Pilate was a powerful man, and he understood how men in power act. Normally, men in power, they do not keep silent. So Pilate was quite confused by the way Jesus was being silent when everybody was talking about him, hurling accusations. He had nothing to say. So what else I'm going to do, I'm going to piggyback and go backwards into Isaiah. Because Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, I'm going to pick up a few verses from there because it's a prophetic verse, because it's a prophetic actually writing, because it was written thousands of years before Jesus was born. And here we see Jesus playing out, but Jesus was really only walking out what was already prophesied about him. I need to pause and throw this out to you. When people are lying on you and talking about you and running your name through the mud, you don't really have to say a whole lot of things because it's already written what it's going to be like for you. So if God's going to prosper you, it makes no difference who talks about you, who lies on you, who makes fun of you, what they say on Facebook. It don't make no never mind, because what God has for you, it is for you. And so Jesus, understanding what was prophetically spoken about him, he kept his mouth shut. And sometimes the most anointed thing you can do is just be silent. All right, so let's put up point number one. And point number one reiterates that. Simply this, silent. Somebody say silent. Let's look at Isaiah 53 and 7. I'll read the Isaiah. So Isaiah 53 and 7 says this. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. I'm so grateful for Jesus, because I don't know if I'm that anointed. Because if you keep talking about me, I want to say something. But when you understand the prophetic voice over your life, you can keep quiet, because God has the final say-so. All right, let's go back to Mark. Let's look at Mark 15, verses 8 through 10. Read that.
The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual.
Next verse.
Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews? Pilate asked.
Well, there was a custom that you could let go at least one prisoner during this feast time. And so the people came to let somebody go. You ever seen somebody on Facebook talking about free Tyrone and free Jackson and free Johnson? And sometimes the people that are saying free don't need to be free. But the same thing happened there. They were asking to free somebody. So Pilate, thinking, knowing this man hadn't done anything, said, do you want me to free the king of the Jews? Let's look at what they said or what's said next.
For he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy.
Pilate, being a man of power, realized these were just trumped up charges. They're talking a bunch of noise, but at the end of the day, Jesus really hadn't done anything. And also, Pilate's wife had a dream and said, this is an innocent man. You need to leave this man alone. Don't mess with this man. You need to back up away from him. And Pilate figured it out. The only reason he's in the predicament he's in is because of envy. So that brings us up to point number two, envy. Let me throw this out there to you. Some of the reason why folk are talking about you is not because you've done anything wrong, is they're just envious of you. They want to be you, but they don't know the hell you got to go through to be you. And while they're talking about you and want to switch places with you, they don't know the work you've done behind the scenes to be you. So why are you mad at me by what I'm driving, riding, what I'm wearing? You don't understand what it costs to be me. So go ahead and be envious if you want to. I'm just going to be silent, because if you knew what I had to go through, if you knew the tears that I cried, if you knew how hard it was, you wouldn't fix your mouth to talk about me. You'd celebrate me, but sometimes people let envy get the best of them. So point number one was silent. Now point number two is envy. Let's keep on reading. Now remember, they could have released somebody. Let's read what they said.
They shouted back, crucify him.
No, they didn't. They shouted back, kill him, get rid of him, snuff him out, wipe him off the face of the earth. Let's read the next verse.
Why, Pilate demanded, what crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him.
Pilate, being a man of power in the position of the judge and the governor, he was quite confused, because I don't understand, what did he do to deserve the hate that you're throwing his way? And I want to say the same thing to some of y'all. I don't know what you did to deserve as many haters as you have. As small as Muncie is, how is it you got so many haters? I don't know why, but yes, I do know why. When the hand of God is over your life, every demon and devil in hell will stir up stuff to hate you, and it's nothing you've done wrong. All you got to do is just keep on being silent, because it's envy going around. Let's read some more. Read this.
So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
Pilate was a man in power, but he was also a weak leader, because what he understood is, if I do what they want me to do, it's going to cause peace to come, and I've been sent here by Rome to keep peace. And even though this is wrong, it's going to look bad on my watch if peace doesn't happen. And so even though the mob is ruling and the mob is yelling and I got the right to shut the mob up, I don't want this on my watch. I don't want to step in. So I'm going to step back. He actually, in another verse, says he washed his hands of it. A weak leader don't step up to a plate. The weak leader just backs up and let things happen. And so he said, okay, I'll give you Barabbas. Go ahead and take this Jesus, even though he's innocent, even though I know you're envious of him, but go ahead and flog him, beat him with a lead-tipped whip, and take him on away from my presence to be crucified. So let's bring up point number three. Point number three is this, to say with me, it is despised. Say that. So now we have silent, we have envy, we have despised. Let me pick up Isaiah for you to let you know that this was prophetic. Isaiah 53 and 5 says it this way. It says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Pilate could have done something, but he turned his back. Now, I don't want to get in the mix of this mess. And so we got silent. We got envy. We got despised. Let's keep on reading. Let's look at Mark 15, 16 through 20.
The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and called out the entire regiment.
All right, let's move on. Read some more.
They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head.
Read.
Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews."
It wasn't bad enough for him to have haters. But when he was turned over to the authorities began to have a heyday with him. The police officers, the military police, they decided this is a good time for us to have fun with him. Let's dress him in robes. Let's put a crown of thorns on his head. And the crazy thing about this crown of thorns, it was dipped in poison on the tip of the thorns. That way, when they drive the crown into his head, what it do, it would send all kinds of signals all throughout his body to make him itch and to feel all kinds of ways. It wasn't enough to beat him. It wasn't enough to talk about him. It wasn't enough to lie on him. They had to humiliate him. They had to make him look bad and worse and then call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Let's look and read some more.
And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship.
All right, so they put the crown of thorns on his head that was dipped in that poison, but it wasn't good enough just to set it on his head. They had to drive it in his head because they were so evil. Beating till that prick would go deep down in his skull and cause pain, and he hadn't done anything. He came to love on people. His track record is that he was raising the dead. He was healing the sick. He was opening blinded eyes. He was making the lame walk. He even got fish, money out of a fish mouth. He fed 5,000 with a two-piece Culver's fish dinner, and they still didn't like him. And let me throw this out here to you. You can do everything right, but when folk want to hate you, they just don't hate you. Ain't no need in you trying to figure it out. When hate is hate, hate is just hate. Nothing you can do about it. Here Jesus in the midst of all this hate. And then on top of the scripture says they fell down on their knees in mock worship, laughing at him, playing with him, joking with him, and all he did was to come to love on people. Let's go to this next verse.
When they were finally tired of mocking him,
they only stopped because they got wore out. Read.
They took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified.
Oh, then it was bad enough to just crucify him, but they had to toy with him. They had to play with him. They had to dehumanize him. They had to make it worse than what it was. And so let's put up point number four. Point number four is simply this: wounded. Go ahead and make it big and solid, because I want to show you that this whole time, this red ring in the middle is the crown of thorns. And then we've got the red flowing, which represents the blood. This was a messy deliverance. Let's go on to point number five. Point number five is a little different, though, because all these points up until this point have been somewhat negative. Silent, envy, getting all the way down to the wounded. We went to despise, getting down to the wounded. But now I throw up healed, which doesn't seem like it jives with the rest of the story. But the reason why I throw that up is because of something I see in Isaiah. I'm going to read that when they bring it up. This might help us because some of us might recognize this. It says this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Maybe that lets me know why he was silent when they was hitting him in the face and beating him on the head and whipping him in the back, 39 lashes on the back. Maybe he was silent because he knows through his beating, I would be healed. Through his beating, I would be restored. Through his beating, addiction would fall off of me. Through his beating, depression would have to let me go. He wasn't silent because he was guilty. He was silent because the Bible says, for the joy of the cross, he stayed there on the cross. He saw me and he saw you. So he put up with it all because he did it for you and he did it for me. Let me let you know something. He didn't just do it for the pastor. He didn't just do it for the bishop. He didn't just do it for the folk who are sitting in this building right now. But there's somebody out there with wine in their hand. He did it for them. There's somebody pushing fentanyl in the community. He did it for them. Because if you ever would turn and look to God, his arms are wide open no matter how far you've fallen. He's a God that knows what it's like to be beat. Knows what it's like to be bruised. Knows what it's like to be hated. And all you got to do is say yes to him and he'll rescue anybody. Let's keep on reading. Mark 15:21.
A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene.
Cyrene is in North Africa, so this was an African man.
Was coming in from the countryside just then. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus.
This is not really in the message, but let me pause and just throw this in here. Please don't tell me that Christianity is a white man's religion. Because in the most crucial time of Jesus' life, when he was going to the cross, some African man just happened to be passing by. And they called him and they said, carry the cross. And let me throw this out there. For history and ages, black folk been carrying the cross. We've been carrying the cross a long time. Don't you tell me I done took the slave master's religion. Baby, this religion was here before the slave masters ever showed up. I had the cross before they ever showed up. Because God knew what he was doing when he birthed the Garden of Eden, which was in the middle of Africa, in the middle of Africa. So don't let some fool tell you that you're worshiping a white God, whether he's white, black, purple, or I'm worshiping because he died for me. I'm worshiping because his blood was red. However, the scripture lets me know that it started in Africa first. And then it spread to Europe. So don't you tell me something different because I know the word of God. And so let me just put point number six. I just wanted to throw it up there just to remind you, Simon. Simon was a, let me just go ahead and put it in my terms. Simon was a black man at the cross. Let's keep on reading Isaiah 53:6. Let me go ahead and share this part. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when Simon picked up the cross and was carrying it for Jesus, because Jesus was beat, unrecognizable, and he was going up the hill to Golgotha, the reason why Simon picked up the cross, because it's a representation of our own sin, that we trade what is on us for the master, for Jesus, because we all have gone this way. We've all gone the way of sin, and we should have all gone the way of the cross. See, Simon picked up the cross, but Simon should have had to keep the cross. But because God is so good, even though your sin should have put you on the cross, and even though the sin should have made you carry the cross, the sin won't make you keep the cross, because God traded the cross and the sin and gave us the cross and gave Jesus the sin. Let's read some more. I'm just taking you up to the story.
They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull.
Which means the place of death. Come on, read.
Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it.
You have to understand, he was a Nazarite, so he took the Nazarite vow, and the Nazarites were not supposed to take any drink. That was a part of their vow. Jesus, in his dying moment, when he had cried, another version says he cried out, "I thirst." So they offered him something, and he refused it because it went against his vow. Even in his dying moment, he was keeping his word. All right, read.
And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get.
Now, Mark is the quickest of the Gospels, so Mark rushes through it and just lets us know he crucified him. They crucified him. I chose Mark because it speeds things up. But just let me let you know something. When we say they crucified him, I need you to understand that's holes in this hand. That's holes in this hand. That's holes in this foot. That's holes in this foot. That's being hoisted up on an old rugged cross. That means being beat there. And what was interesting about crucifixion, and Jesus was not the only person to be crucified, it was a Roman tradition. It was like the death sentence. It was like the electric chair. The electric chair. But the thing about crucifixion, the reason why it's called crucifixion, is because it required asphyxiation, which means you died and you choked on your own blood. Because as you hung and tried to breathe, your lungs were filled with the blood from the beating and the pain. And you had tried to get your breath so you can hang, but all your weight is being hung by these nails. And before long, you just suffocate to death on the cross. Like I said, he wasn't the only person to go through that. They usually reserve the death penalty for folk who've done a lot wrong. But he had done nothing wrong. Let's read.
It was 9 in the morning when they crucified
him. My God, early in the morning. When people are normally going to work, here he is hanging on the cross. Don't have nothing on him. Naked, barely covered up, beaten. Horribly bad. Let's read.
The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews."
You mean the only charge they could find is he was the King of the Jews? You mean he was the king, and it cost him to be the king? First of all, he was a king that showed up in the manger. Every step of his life was not a good step. It was bad from the get-go, but it went from bad to worse. Read the next verse.
They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left.
The King James says thieves. The English Standard calls them robbers. Rebels, thieves, robbers. They didn't even let him be crucified by himself. They stuck him with the worst people, which brings us up to point number 7, rebels and robbers. Let's keep on going. Verse 29 to 31.
Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days?"
It wasn't bad enough to have him hanging there. They walked by, looking at him, and had the nerve to hurl insults at him. Don't you think it's bad enough for him hanging up there dying? You don't got to add nothing to it, but some people are so evil, they always got to add their 2 cents in. If this was in our day and age, somebody would be on Facebook talking about, "Look at him, look at him." They would be sharing his picture all over Facebook and TikTok while he's hanging up there dying. Somebody always got to jump in. But look, what they say. Look at the insult they say.
"Come down from the cross and save yourself."
My goodness. Read some more.
"In the same way the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves, he saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself."
He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let me talk to y'all church folk for just a second. There's some folk in the world talking about you because you struggle. Look, they go to church and they just as broke as I am. Baby, don't worry about the folk who talk about you because you hear it all your life. If they talked about Jesus, they'll talk about you too. Sometimes you're doing the best you can and you'll have a family member point up all the wrong stuff. Well, guess what? I haven't smoked cigarettes in almost a year. Yeah, well, you were smoking for 50 years, about time. Well, can't you celebrate the 1 year? Why you got to bring up the old stuff? But people are evil, and it's not their fault. It's the devil. You know you can't spell devil without spelling evil, too. The devil is an evil rascal. Point number 8. I only got 2 more points. Point number 8 was insulted. Let's put up Isaiah 53:8. I'll read this. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Another version, instead of saying he was taken, they say he was insulted. My goodness. Hadn't done nothing wrong. And of course, we know he got up, but I don't want to stop there. I want to walk you through how hard it was. And let me tell you something. I'm doing a poor job at it because you can't really even picture what this really was like. I'm trying to give you a glimpse into the cost and the sacrifice. And not just the sacrifice, the folk around him was just making it worse. They didn't have to add insult to injury. He's already hanging. He's already hurting. Why you gotta add stuff? But this is just the culture that he was living in. And it's the culture we were living in too. Mark 15:33. But let me add this, ain't none of y'all suffered like he suffered.
At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock.
So he started at 9 a.m., but at noon, darkness fell. Then it transitioned all the way to 3 o'clock. This is almost a full shift of suffering. Read this verse.
Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?
My goodness, the Son of God, when he would preach, he would say, he was my Father. I am your child. But here he is in the middle of his suffering. He started at 9 o'clock in the morning, all the way down to 3 a.m. He finally cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God. Why have thou forsaken me? I don't know if you've ever been saved and felt forsaken. I don't know if you've ever worshiped God but feel like he ain't coming through for you. But you don't know what my Savior went through on that cross. Because this is what I need you to understand. He wasn't just talking about the pain. He had been in pain all day long. They've been beating him all day. He wasn't talking about the pain. He was talking about the sin he had to take on. He never committed a sin, but the child molester sin, he had to take it on. He never harmed a fly, but the rapist sin, he had to take on. He never hurt anybody, but Hitler's mentality, he had to take it on. And all he wanted to know is, God, why have you forsaken me? Let's read some more.
Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah.
Not only is it bad, all the things we've talked about, but even in the midst of his worst pain, he was still misunderstood. Oh, ain't nothing like folk around you misunderstanding you, and all you're doing is crying out in pain. They thought he was crying for Elijah. Look at what somebody said. Or done.
One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink.
He had already refused the wine the first time, and someone in their misunderstanding rushes up to give him some more. And then look at what happens in that same verse.
Wait, he said, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down.
Oh, I felt so good that somebody was coming to check on Jesus. To offer him something. They was offering him wine again, but at least he was checking on them. But then we come to find out he wasn't checking. He was nosy. He said, let's wait and see if Elijah gonna come get him down. Of all the people he helped, nobody. Nobody got up and said, he raised my son. He healed my mama. He fixed my situation. I ate the fish and the loaves. Nobody came to his rescue. And the folk that hung around was just trying to wonder, is he who he says he was? Let's look at point number 9. Asked and answered. He asked and answered. He asked God why. He was looking for an answer, and the answer never came. Please don't come to me and say, Pastor, I've been praying, and I ain't got no answer. You ain't never been through what Jesus went through. Jesus left heaven. If anybody had a direct line to heaven, it was Jesus. And in his worst moment, he didn't get an answer. And here's the reason why God couldn't look at all the sin on his son. He had to judge the sin on his son, so he couldn't brace his son with the sin. He had to turn his back on his own son, so he couldn't answer him. Coming to close of Mark 15, let's read a few more verses.
Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last.
Mark didn't tell us what he says. Another version says, he says, it is finished. And pardon me for those who, I'm going to do it in the microphone. I'm just going to utter one more cry. It is finished. If I sound emotional, I am. Because I'm trying to put myself 2,000 years ago into the foot of Calvary. And as much as I'm trying, I'm doing a terrible job. Because at the end of the day, I'm still breathing. I'm still moving around. My suit still look good. All I got is a little sweat. There's no blood on me. Do you realize how messy this really was? Yes, it's cute to have a cross around your neck and a cross tattoo. Yes, that's cute, but do you know how messy it really was? What was he saying? It is finished. What he was saying, I'm trading my sin. I'm trading my righteousness for their sin. I got a new Cadillac out there. I just got it in February. That'd be like me picking up somebody and saying, hey, I just got this brand new. I'm still paying on it. I'm going to pay it off, and I'm going to trade it for your skateboard. It's much worse than that. Trading his righteousness for our sin. Verse 44 through 46.
Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet.
Pilate, even though he washed his hands from the situation, he still was paying attention, and he knew he was a good man, so he thought somehow maybe he's not going to die. But guess what? He was born to die. The disciples didn't understand it. That's why Peter got confused. He tried to stay and watch, but when he got too close and they started asking him questions, he said, I don't know that man. Peter betrayed him. Because they didn't know what was going on. This was the master. How is it that the master is dying? This is the worst end to the stories. Can't be. So even Pilate was saying, I can't believe he already gone. Now Pilate didn't lift a finger to help. But he's wondering, I can't believe he already gone. Next verse.
The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead. So Pilate told Joseph, he could have the body.
Joseph was a friend of Jesus, wealthy man. Let's look at the last verse. This is the last verse that we have.
Joseph brought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance.
Well, at least we find somebody finally taking care of him. But he was already dead. But Joseph took his body off the cross. The Romans didn't even take him off the cross. Took his body off the cross, covering in a linen sheet. Put him in the tomb that he had already paid for. Put him in there. And then a rock was rolled over the front part, which we call the entrance. And so that's point number 10. That's my last point. Go ahead, put it up there. The entrance. So go to this next thing real quick. Conclusion. Pastor Andre, I know you can't come to a conclusion. Well, I told you, we already know the end of the story. I wanted to walk you up. And as I walk you up, I hope you feel. I'm doing a bad job because there's no human that can describe what it really was. Even the humans that were there to see it, they don't know the spiritual implication. None of us really, really know what it was like. And let me throw this out there to all of us. Your sins alone would have put them on the cross. If every human on the face of the earth disappeared and you were the only person there, your sin alone would have sent him to the cross. Well, Pastor Andre, I ain't been that bad. I just told a little white lie, but you don't understand. God is so holy, even the most minuscule of sin would have sent him to the cross. So yes, y'all look nice, y'all look cute, y'all dressed up, y'all dressed down, y'all smell good, but all of your sins put him on the cross.
Yes, amen.
And mine too. That's the conclusion. It's our fault. Well, who crucified him, the Romans or the Jews? We did it.
Amen.
I did it. You did it. They did it. We all did it. It's all on us. Let's just, we want to get the young people up, so let me put this up, just put up a quick recap. I'm just recap these points, try to get us out. Silent was one, envy was two, despised was three, wounded was four, healed was five, Simon was six, robbers was seven, insulted was eight, ask and answer was nine, entrance was 10. Silent, envy, despised, wounded, healed, Simon, robbers, insulted, asked, answered, entrance. I hope as I walk through that story in Mark 4, 15, you've seen all those different points somewhere. Hold on, put that back up one more time. I need to look at it. Something's missing, though. I know these are the points. No, go back. Go back to that other one. All right, well, go forward then. These are jumbled up. Go backwards. I'm sorry, y'all. Maybe some technical difficulties. So, all right. The first point was silent. Go to the next one. But this starts with healed. These are all jumbled up. But let me just read them jumbled up. I'm going to scramble them. Healed, envy, wounded, ass, silent, robbers, answer, insulted, Simon, entrance, despised. That's not the order I taught them in. That's all jumbled up. But something's missing, though. Let's just use the first verses of the scrambled up. Let's go to the next one. Healed, envy, wounded. Wait. Go ahead and go to the next one. He was raised. My God. Just stop at the cross. I can't just stop at the blood. I can't just stop with his body in the tomb. I need to let you know in 3 days he got up out of the ground with power in his hand. He was raised for my trouble. He was raised for my addiction. He was raised for my sin. He was raised for my idiocy. He was raised for my hang up. He was raised, he was raised, he was raised. He was raised from the grave. He was raised with power. He was raised with anointing. He was raised with joy.
He was raised with peace. That's why I serve him. I don't serve him just because he died, and I'm grateful that he died. I don't serve him just because he was beat, and I was grateful that he was beat. I'm grateful it was him instead of me. But the reason why I serve him is because the Bible said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in your mortal body. So guess what? The reason why we get happy on Easter or Resurrection Sunday is because he was raised. I got to get us out of here. I got to get us out of here, but he was hanging on the cross. They stretched him out, and then they buried him in a tomb. But he didn't just lay in the tomb. He went down in the tomb, and it went down into hell and began to preach a revival in hell. He began to tell the people, I'm here to deliver you. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm Mary's baby. And I want the keys of death and hell. I apologize. He didn't say I want it. He said, give me the keys of death and hell. And then he got up out of the grave. He got up. I ain't done this in a long time. He got up with all power in his hand. My God's not dead. He's yet alive. He was raised. He rules. He reigns. And I serve him because he got up. I serve him because he got up. I serve him because he got up. Death couldn't hold him in the ground. I'm finished, but this is what it proves to us. There's only one way to kill death, to get in death and die, and then raise up with power. So now, if you know him, when you die, you don't die, you just sleep, because you raise up on the other side. There's some people that belong to this ministry that have went the way of the grave, but they're not gone. They're still a part of this ministry. They're watching me preach right now because they got raised, because Jesus got raised. And all I'm trying to tell you is don't wait till Easter to think about he got raised. Every day, remind yourself he is risen. I'm done. I need to let you know something, Brother Stephen. You helped us with praise, but you can't spell praise without what? Raise. That's why I praise, because he's raised. Somebody say that with me. Say, he was raised. Come on, clap your hands. Oh! I almost feel like preaching, but I'm done. But he was raised. You have to understand, sometimes when I'm by myself, it don't have to be March and April. It could be July. It could be December. I think about the fact that he got up out the ground, and I get happy all by myself. I don't need a mic. I don't need a church. Sometimes I'm in my backyard shouting because I thank God he was raised. Amen. We're going to bring our young people up. We thank God for our young people. Go ahead and flash this up. The last thing I was going to say. So tomorrow is April Fool's. And April Fool's, people normally play a prank on somebody, and then at the end they say, gotcha. Well, the greatest April Fool's is when Jesus showed up in hell and devil thought it was over, and Jesus just said, gotcha. I'm getting up out of the ground. With power. Pastor. Bless you all. Pastor. They just reminded me I forgot communion. I got so excited I forgot our communion. Come on, let's get our communion.
as our young people are getting ready. First Corinthians 11, 24 says,
"And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you."
Come on, let's eat the bread. Then he added, "This do in remembrance of me." Read the next one.
"After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
Let's drink together. Final verse says this.
"For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come."
Amen. Come on, let's take our seats.
I'd like to close this out in prayer, if that's okay. Dear Lord, thank you so much for Jesus' resurrection and your unfailing love. May this Easter renew our hearts and bring us joy, hope, peace, and let us share the glorious news of your word and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.